Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another edition of Centurion Faith, the podcast that helps the believer in Jesus Christ to seek the kind of faith that makes him marvel. There's only one place in the Bible where somebody had faith that made Jesus marvel. That's amazing to me. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anybody that comes to God must not only believe that he exists, but that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So this podcast is for believers who are diligent seekers of Jesus Christ. If you're taking time to listen to this podcast, I feel very blessed and honored that you would give me 20 minutes of your day. I promise that it's going to be no longer than that. I'm going to try to make this short and sweet, but I just want to just really share something with you today. I did a message a couple days ago. I haven't done a podcast in a while, taking a little break from it, but I did one the other day, and I could not get it to upload. I could not get it to work, and I thought, you know, I used to think when things like that happened that maybe I was off point, but I think I was actually right on track. And I think that the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, got in there in this technology that can be so binding, and he just bound up this message. I could not get it to upload. I eventually just had to delete it out of frustration. So maybe God, instead of me losing something, I think I've gained something. To live as Christ and to die as gain. So I just died to myself and I let that message go. And I said, Lord, if this is from you, I believe you've got even a better message from me. So I believe this message today is going to be even better than the one that I lost. Because God's always doing something new and he's always doing something better. So I believe that. I'm going to get right to the message today because I just so excited about it. God is just birthing in me. He's just something that's big. I think this is a breakout message. I think it's a timely message for the times that we're in right now. And I believe this is going to be a message that speaks to the Esthers of today, that we are appointed for such a time as this. And the message that I have today is called The Flaw is in Our Operating System. The flaw is in our operating system. You know, a computer is always getting new upgrades, our laptops and everything like that, and we're getting upgraded to new operating systems that can take on greater capacity, greater processing abilities, greater, we can do greater things. You know, a new operating system can do greater things. Getting rid of an old operating system also rids you of all the viruses and bugs that are in the old. And in the new system, you're able to process things at greater speeds and to do greater things with the new computer operating system. So it's the same way with God. I think the flaw that we have, and that word flaw, F-L-A-W, keep that in mind because that's going to be a key word in today's message. I believe that is the key word for this message. The flaw, F-L-A-W, is in our operating system. So, you know, we are spirit beings. Jesus said, you know, when he witnessed when he came and ministered to the first witness ever created, the first evangelist ever created, was the woman at the well in John 4. And Jesus ministers to this woman, and he says to her during the time that he's with her that the Father is looking for worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. And then he says it again in both John 4:2-3 and 4:2-4, he said, these are the kind of worshipers my Father is looking for, worshipers that worship in spirit and truth. He says, God is a spirit, and he's looking for spiritual worshipers. Jesus came in the flesh. He was the Word made flesh, but God is a spirit, and God wants us to walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Bible clearly says that the flesh and the spirit are at war with each other, And you hear believers always say, oh, when they mess up, they say, it was just my flesh. And that's so true. It is. It's, the battle is between your flesh and your spirit. And your flesh wants what it wants. It wants to always have its way. Your flesh is yourself, your selfie, your selfishness, self, self-serve, selfing, self-fulfilling, self-gratifying, selfie, take a picture of yourself. It's all about you. Put it on Facebook and let everybody see what you're doing, because you know what? The whole world revolves around you. That's the self. That's the old man that Christ nailed to the cross. And so we want to be selfless, just like we will never be sinless, but we want to sin less. But how do we do it? How do we do it? It just seems like something's holding us back. Well, we have a flaw in the operating system. And that word flaw, I believe, for this message, if you combine the words flesh and law, you get flaw. And I believe that, you know, the law of God, if you go back to the Ten Commandments and think of what happened when the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai. Remember, Mount Sinai was the mountain where there was, man, you came near it, and there, it was just death on that mountain. And the law, God's law, brought sin to light. When that law was given, remember, Moses came down from the mountains, and everybody was just totally hedonistic. They'd build a golden calf and they're dancing around, and sin was just literally inflamed when the law came in. And Moses got angry with this. He didn't understand that the law was there to show us our sinful nature. It's like a mirror that shows our sin. He didn't realize that, and so he broke the tablets in his anger. God had to write him a new copy of the Ten Commandments. It's crazy, but he literally broke God's law. And he didn't realize the purpose of the law was to bring us to the end of ourselves. He didn't realize what he was seeing. But the Bible says in Hebrews that we have now come to a new mountain, Mount Zion, you know, a mountain of peace and light and the love of God, where Jesus has come down and he's given us a new way of living. And that new way is in the Spirit. The law of God is holy, it's just, it's pure, it's spiritual. But it's designed to bring us to the end of ourselves. It says in Galatians that the law is, I think it's in Galatians 4, says the law is like a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But once the schoolmaster brings you to Christ, now you're in Christ and you can walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I'm just going to say this, the best way that I can summarize it is, if you wanted to keep the Bible, okay, the Bible is a book, and it is we look at it as a rule book, but it's really God's love story to us. Christ is embedded in here, and once we come to Christ, we're no longer under the law. And it says the law shall not have dominion over us or dominate us anymore, or rather sin shall not dominate us anymore. In Romans 6:14, it says sin shall no longer have dominion over you, for you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. Once we've been given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, we're no longer under the law. And if we walk in that Spirit, we will actually keep this book of the law. I'm talking about the whole Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. Of course we would want to, as believers, we would want to live out this word. Jesus was the word living, was the word made flesh. And in the same way, he's here through the Holy Spirit to teach us how to walk as he walked. 1 John, I think it's 2:5 or 2:6, says that those that say they abide in him ought to walk as Jesus walked. We should walk and talk like Jesus walked and talked. And we should think like Jesus thought, because we have the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit. You see where I'm going with this? So we're no longer under the law. I'm going to read one of my favorite scriptures of all times. I have it written on my and embroidered on my racket bag for tennis, and I have it etched on my heart. It's my life verse. It's Galatians 2:20, and it says that I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me living. It's Christ living in me. In this life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This life I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For I do not frustrate the grace of God. Do you want to frustrate the grace of God? How do we frustrate the grace of God? I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness or your right standing could come by the law, that means us keeping God's rules, his rule book, then Christ is dead in vain. So if you're saved by your works, then Christ didn't need to do his works. He died in vain. We are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, and through faith in his finished work on our behalf. And that's the gospel right there. The number one trick the enemy has once you're born again is he wants to get you back under the law. He wants to get you back under the religious peloton. He wants to get you back on the religious treadmill and just keep you in works. But by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified, the Bible says. No flesh can be justified by the works of the law. Even the things in the New Testament, things God's called us to do, you know, lay hands on the sick and watch them, pray for people and watch them be delivered. In the name of Jesus, when we pray for people, we can see blind eyes open. We can see deaf ears open. We can see all kinds of beautiful, wonderful things when we're in Christ. But, you know, even those things are not going to save us. Laying hands on the sick, praying for people, reading our Bible, whatever things we know are good, whatever things we're using to connect ourselves and others to Christ are good, but they're not going to save us. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in what he's done, we're saved by his blood, by his death, his burial, and resurrection, all done on our behalf to free us from sin, his finished work, as we like to call it. That's why we're saved. That's why it says in Matthew 7:24, one of the most terrifying scriptures, or actually I think it's in 7:23, talks about the man who comes before the Lord at the judgment and starts listing all the things that he did. And he says, here it is, Matthew 7:22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name, have we not cast out devils? And in your name, haven't we done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, or ye that work iniquity. Wow. So this guy did all these good things, things that God's called us to do. But see, he thought those things were going to save him. He thought he was saved by his works. Isn't that amazing? I've been pondering this scripture for years now, and I'm like, wow, that's a scary scripture. God, are we not supposed to do those things? I'm confused. You told us to do these things, but you're not saved by those things. You're saved for those things. Look at Ephesians 2:8-10. It is by grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, Christ's finished work. It is by grace that you're saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not by works, so nobody can boast. Then it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, meaning in union with him through the Spirit. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has preordained that we do. We're not saved by our works. We're saved for works. There's a huge difference. This is like heaven and hell difference. Like, we are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, through faith in his finished work. Wow. I'm going to go to Galatians. I read Galatians 2:20, but you know, my brother posted on Facebook this morning. Thank you, Scott, for posting Galatians 2:16-21, because when I read it, I saw something in it. I love Galatians. Listen to this, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of, keep in mind, the faith of Jesus Christ, even we who have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Three times it says it in one verse. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, if we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. God forbid. He's not the minister of sin. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor or a sinner. Meaning, if you try to build on that old operating system, which has a flaw, that operating system was pure, it's holy, everything like that, but the flaw was in the people. That operating system will no longer work. The flesh and the law are strange bedfellows. The flesh and the law, your flesh, which Christ says, those that are in the flesh, Romans 8:8, cannot please God. So we need to get out of the flesh and in the spirit, because those that are in the flesh cannot please God, it says in Romans 8:8. But it goes on to say you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit, if the spirit of Christ lives in you. And if any man doesn't have the spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. You have the spirit of Christ because Jesus died to give you the spirit of Christ. He died to give you the Holy Spirit. He promised the Holy Spirit. And you know what the Holy Spirit is? He's a gift, just like salvation is a gift. Repent. Peter says, repent and be baptized in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the gift is not only for you and your children, but for many who are far off will believe when you share this with them. Wow. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And guess what? You can't receive the Holy Spirit except by the faith of Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus was faithful enough to die for me for the forgiveness of my sins, and I want to receive the whole benefits package. I want to receive now the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ himself is fanning the flame of the Holy Spirit in you and showing you something you never saw before. Get out of the flaw. Get out from under the law. Get out from the flesh. Get out from the flaw. The flesh and the law are flaw. Think of that. Get out of that flawed system, that operating system, and install Jesus 7.77. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. You'll keep the law better when you're walking in the Spirit. You'll keep God's law better by accident than you ever could on purpose. Ooh, that's good. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy. If no one else is getting it, I'm getting it. And I'm preaching what the Word says. I'm just going with what the Word says. If you don't like the Word, then you go through and start tearing all these pages out of your Bible, and you're going to be left with nothing but two covers. But I know what this Bible says. I've been studying it for almost 20 years now, and I'm trying to comprehend this grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. This is amazing. I'm going to close with this, with Romans. This is amazing. Romans 13:8. I'm starting there, and I'm going to read this to you. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that has loved another has fulfilled the law. You want to love somebody today? You want to fulfill the law of God? Love somebody with the love of Christ that's in you through the Holy Spirit. For this, listen to this, Romans 3:9, the next verse, 13:9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandments, he doesn't even go through them all, he just starts listing them so you get the point. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill towards its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Wow. You want to keep God's law, love somebody. How you do it? Because you have a spirit of love. The fruit of the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithful, it's gentle, it's self-control. That's the spirit that you have in you. You have the spirit of Christ. It's no longer you living, it's Christ living in you. So go love somebody today with the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit, and they will experience the fruit thereof.